Hey y'all, how we doing? Shout out once again to Bear Nation for tuning in to another episode of the Bear Necessities Podcast. I am your host, Rob Napoli. The Bear Necessities is a podcast where we sit down with entrepreneurs, ecosystem partners, and innovation folks to talk about what it takes and means to launch, create, and scale business across the world. We talk about the journey and the challenges of being entrepreneur-minded and how that translates into your journey, giving you the tools and knowledge to overcome challenges that you may be facing in your life's journey. The Bear Necessities is part of the Rise Up Media family. We thank you for tuning in. Now, let's get into the show. Hello, everybody. We are back again for another episode of the Bear Necessities podcast. Shout out to all you Bear Nation for tuning in. I'm excited to introduce our guest today. We're going to be chatting with global speaker coach, virtual speaking specialist, and TEDx coach, Peter Hopwood. He is a worldwide events MC and speaker who has lived in 7 countries, worked in 32 countries, and currently is in a little town on the coast in Croatia, but working worldwide via Zoom. Peter travels the world now virtually to help professionals define, craft, and deliver stronger stories and take control of their messages, storyline, and speaking impact. Peter, say hello to Bear Nation for me.
Hello, Bear Nation. Great intro. Thanks so much for connecting. Yeah. I've seen a lot of your I've seen a lot of your stuff on social media, on LinkedIn, and we connected. We spoke a little bit, and we both came to the conclusion it'd be cool to have a chat, and that's what
exactly.
We're
doing. And I'm excited to have you on board, because a lot of cool things with your background, right? Being a global speaker coach, but also emceeing live events, and you know, kind of being an entrepreneur yourself. So before we kind of tackle all of that, I throw a curveball question. You've lived in 7 countries. You've traveled to worked and traveled over 32. Where's the favorite place you've been and why?
Yeah, that's a tough question you've just posed to me, because every place has got something good, probably something not great as well, and it's the feelings and it's the people we meet there as well that often make it. So you can go to a great place, it could be like everybody loves it on paper, or if you look at it on YouTube, it sounds great, and you imagine it to be fantastic. When you get there, maybe it isn't, but other places that maybe you've never heard of, small towns, small cities, different place where I do coaching or events, and just a great vibe with the people that you're hanging out with, having good conversations, So the answer to that, I don't know. I think maybe, because it was the first city I went to live in when I left the UK, and it means a lot to me, certainly at the beginning, was Paris. So I lived in Paris for about 3-4 years, and then moved on to the south of France and then other countries. But because it was the first one, it was the kind of place that gave me confidence. So traveling gives us confidence, right? So when we go to different places, especially on our own, we feel this kind of streak of confidence through us. And if you live there, you kind of keep telling yourself, well, hey, if I can do this, I can go anywhere else. So I would say Paris. That would be the answer to that.
Yeah, I think that's so unique, right? We all, I know a lot of people and they talk about traveling, people talk about traveling and that they want to do this, they wish they could do it. And until you do it and really immerse yourself in a different culture, there's a difference between traveling for like a week and traveling and being somewhere for a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, that I think really kind of opens you up and gives you confidence because you learn so much. And, I lived in Italy for 2 years, lived in Milan, and I learned a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I learned a lot by living in Milan.
Wow, wicked.
And in Spain, I got a master's in international multi-channel marketing there. I coach professional American football. I help scale startup globally. And it was one of those things that I don't know, it gives you confidence, because if you can do that, like when I moved to New York, I'd never been here, and everyone's like, oh, you're from the Midwest, New York must be tough. I was like, nah, I lived in Italy for 2 years. Like, I had to figure out how to run the fucking trains without you know, before, you know, GPS was as good, and like I couldn't ask in English. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. You know what I mean? Like, I figured that shit out. I can figure this out.
Yeah, Rob, listen, I mean, you got it. I mean, the days when me and you were traveling, it was before internet, really. Well, before Google. So you had to buy books or a guidebook to figure out where to go, or a plan of streets, which probably don't exist very often now. You know, an actual plan, a map of a city that you hold when you're walking around. Nobody does that anymore. Yeah. But then that was the only way. So you had to be resourceful. Yeah. You had to do the simple things of actually communicating, which I think really helped me certainly with the work I do today. So living across seven countries altogether, obviously different languages. Some of those I kind of managed to communicate well with. Some of those were complete nightmare. So often, it's about tone. It's about the body language that you feel when you're in front of somebody, the tone that they share, the vibe, those micro expressions. So all of that kind of really helped me to kind of really, when I'm sharing my messages or helping people to share their messages, be really concise, be really simple. It's simple. Communication is the best communication, and we remember it, and we can feel it straight away. So it's when you travel, it gives you confidence, but also tells you, well, hey, if I can do this, that, you know, there, life is really intriguing. There are lots of doors to be opened, because if you open one door to a new place, you just kind of tell yourself there are so many other places to discover, and
you know, it's kind of amazing out of that too, is that when you start realizing, even if you don't know the language, but if you understand simple communication techniques and just how to kind of be human and ask a question and leverage what's at your current time and place, you can make a lot of things happen. You learn a lot about why do we overcomplicate things all the time. And, you know, that kind of leads me into, you know, you have a unique background. So you've been running your own business for a number of years as an executive speaking coach and communications coach. What led you, and this podcast is all about entrepreneurship, so what led you to wanting to do the things that you do? How did you know you wanted to be an entrepreneur and help others be a better communicator? What led you down this journey to your current career?
Yeah, no, I mean, my journey is maybe a little bit different from perhaps some of the other people maybe that are listening to this podcast right now. I didn't realize until later on. I left it. I wouldn't say left it too late, because it seems to be working now, and it doesn't. There isn't any age really that you should start or shouldn't start. So I wasn't really interested. I was interested in traveling, discovering. Going to new places, having enough money in my pocket, having enough money in my account to kind of go to the next place. But all the time, kind of building up experience and knowing that, you know, what I do next will hopefully help me in where I want to be in the future, which I didn't kind of know. I did a lot of presentations during the jobs, certain different jobs I worked in. I worked for Disneyland Paris, which is, you know, at the Disney park, it's all about appearance. It's all about that communication, that connection. Yep. So that helped me a lot with my confidence in front of the public, in front of a public, which is certainly not, who don't speak the same language as you. So like people from across the world, you know. So, and that continued into the different jobs I did afterwards. Again, a lot of it was, there were a lot of moments where I had to stand in front of people and sell information, sell myself. Mm-hmm. So presentations week in, week out, the same presentation really kind of helped me understand that, you know, there are small things you can do with your body, with your voice, how you feel, that can actually change the perception that people have of you, right? And so if that changes, hopefully they will build up that trust with you more, if that's certainly what you're trying to do. In most cases, it is certainly when you're selling, and that connection. So I realized, you know, that, you know, sometimes some presentations work really well, some presentations didn't work well at all. And what was the difference? Not really too much difference in the content, but difference was the people you're selling to. Difference was how I was feeling at that moment when I was presenting. Maybe I wasn't feeling too great, or there was something on my mind, or maybe it was just a question of maybe changing a few words, changing the speed, changing, you know, the vibe I was sharing, the energy I was sharing, because we can all feel, we always feel, and that's something I learned really early on, whenever we're presenting or speaking or connecting, a Zoom call, a virtual exchange, a presentation, a TED talk, a CEO speaking to all of his employees, all of the teams, whatever it is, we feel, when we listen to someone, we can feel that energy. And we can really, as humans, we're really, really good. Our brains are really good at detecting how people feel about what they're saying, and also how they often feel about themselves. It's a strange thing. And we can detect that in so many ways, through our voice, through how the energy, the pace. So all those things squeezed together in those presentations, I was kind of like learning really quickly that if I change something for the better, that would lead, obviously, to more money in my pocket at the end of the month. So, and I realized I was quite good at it. I had a flair for it. I enjoyed it. And then kind of moved a few years later down the line, opened up my own company, helping people to speak better, to communicate better, to tell stories better, to find those stories. Often, actually, I say stories, often it's only really one story. Yeah. You know, so it's actually helping people to find the story or stories that will help their listeners get a better perception of them, or create that trust, create that connection, and get closer to the outcomes they want. So, I had a flair for it, enjoyed it, and ever since, kind of nurturing that talent and trying to help others nurture it in the same way.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. You know, working at Paris Disney and learning, you know, going through that experience of learning about what you're good at. Like, I talk about this in my podcast all the time. You know, I have my company and I'm doing these great things and I've learned a lot. I love nonlinear career paths. And as we grow, we don't always know what our passion is out the gate. You know, rarely do I meet somebody who's like, I knew at 4 years old that I was going to be what I am now at 34 or 35 or 28 or 52. And we have to go through these experiences in life, and we have to try new things, and we figure out a lot of times more what we're not passionate about and don't like. But then when we find that thing that we're passionate about, when we find that skill and that feeling, you got to lean into it. And so, you know, it's cool that you took that and you're like, oh, I was good at this, I had a flair for it. And then you leaned into it and continued developing it and figured out, how do I turn this into a fucking business unit, you know?
You're absolutely right. And I think also it's good advice to just keep trying stuff, keep moving and keep doing different things. So I did loads of stuff. I actually did loads of jobs, lots of different types of jobs, but they were all, I would say all in some way to do with communication. Maybe, you know, at the start I used to work in a theater, not on the stage. I was actually backstage. And so a lot of what I was doing was not really communicating with the audience, obviously, because I wasn't on the stage, but it was communication in terms of the actors, people backstage, the set itself. So a lot of it was communication. And I think if we actually try lots of different things, and it doesn't really matter if you're not quite sure what it is you need to be doing or you should be doing, that's okay. I think we're kind of socially told we need to figure that out quick.
Yeah.
And I, for me, certainly, if I knew what I wanted to do earlier on, maybe I would have done everything quicker and I would have another, I don't know, 10 years of my career. Fine. But I to get where I am right now, I needed to do all those different things. I needed to go to those different countries and try different things and earn money and not earn money and go through a lot of crap and go through some really good times as well to get where I am right now. So the more you do, the more experiences you have. Yeah, I would say experiences, more moments, more kind of different experiences you have with people, pushing yourself to different limits, stuff that's not in your comfort zone, can only help you figure out the things eventually that are right
Yeah,
for
I
you.
mean, I
Yeah, would you
absolutely, and
agree?
I actually did, my first podcast of 2022 was a reflection of 2021 and what to expect from the pod and my business in 2022. And one thing to talk about is for me, 2021 was a year that I said yes to everything. I took on a lot of different things in 2021 with Rise Up to see what I liked and didn't like. In fact, I found probably more things I didn't like than I actually liked. But I had amazing experiences throughout and turned out to be a very successful year and exciting because I know more of what I want to build into next year. I mean, I always knew at a younger age that I wanted to teach and speak. Like those are two things I was good at from a young age. But I would never be able to be where I'm at today with my career and doing those things in the way that I'm doing them now without all the experiences of going into marketing and working in recruitment and then going to Italy and getting a master's and working for a startup and all these things that I'm currently doing to get me where I'm at and to have the confidence to deliver in the way that I do and where I'm at. And so, for many of those out there that listen, this podcast isn't always just for entrepreneurs. It's for those that are entrepreneurial minded and want to take something about entrepreneurship into their current lives, whether that's in entrepreneurship and the work that they do, the work they do outside of their job. Like, how do we take a little of that entrepreneurial spirit and that mindset and use that to upskill in wherever you are in your stage of your journey? Which is why I thought this episode would be great, kind of talking into the communication space, right? Because many of us are. We like to think we're good at communication, but we're not as great when it comes to, everyone I talk to, their biggest fear, especially entrepreneurs, is public speaking. It's pitching to investors. It's doing these things. Even more so when you're not a native English speaker and you're doing it in English, or you're not a native speaker of the country you're in delivering. And so that's where I thought this was kind of going to be cool and kind of go into. So how did, you talked about, starting behind the stage, right? And that's where you learned early. What made you want to get up on stage and be a speaker and do TEDx talks and you MC all these amazing events? You've MC'd in Jordan and all around the world. So how did you what made you what drove you to say, I'm going to be on stage one day and delivering this type of content?
It's a good question because I think it came by accident, really. So I was, so as I say, presenting, had a flair for that, enjoyed that. And so as a trainer, as a coach, you are actually presenting when you're in the classroom or the boardroom because you're managing that space. You're trying to get people's attention. You're trying to keep people engaged. You're trying to share messages that they take away and walk away with. So I was constantly doing that. And then, by accident, actually, it was here in Croatia, quite a long time ago. Somebody just said to me, "Listen, can you? We got a small conference, setting up a small conference. Can you? Will you be the man at the, this at the start who presents and shares messages and introduce the speakers?" And so I said, "Yeah," and I because I could because I had that talent of not fearing, or well, I had the talent of feeling confident in front of people. That was it. Just that, right? So that worked well. I did that. I enjoyed that. And then I started to do a few more. So a few more events, bigger events. And I felt I saw there was a gap for me because I could actually earn money, but also at the same time grow and really shape these events. Helping audiences to really understand. Making sense of the things they're hearing, joining things together, joining those. The speakers together, the messages, making people feel excited and feel good about what's about to happen, adding a little bit of humor in there as well, so all those things together seem to work well. And so one thing after another, from small conferences here in Croatia to more conferences around Europe, in I think it was Germany and then Paris and then quite a few other countries in Europe. And then I said to myself, "Listen, there's a big market over in the Middle East." I got my foot in the door there and then started to do more over in Dubai, 6 or 7 times a year. And then, obviously trying to brand myself even further and share on social media what I'm doing so people can see that and feel that and see the videos. This video is so important because with a video, within 30 seconds, people can make up their mind because that's what we want. We want people to make up their mind quickly. So whether they don't like me, That's okay. If they don't, if they see me, they hear me and feel he is not right mm-hmm. for our event, or he's not right for our conference, or he's not right as a coach yeah. for us, because they've seen the video, because they've seen 30 seconds of mm-hmm. of me, how I share my messages, how I connect, how I speak, how I look, yeah. whatever it is, that's okay. But I want, you know, there's so many other people that mm-hmm. do, you know, and so the video, this video format really helps the you know, potential clients yeah. really see if I'm right for them. So going back to the question, just carried on and grew further and challenged myself, because every event yeah. is different. Every event has its challenges. Every event can be, you can be hired for an event just because of your personality, mm-hmm. or you can be hired for an event because of your personality and your content yeah. knowledge as well. You could be hired for an event because you're funny. Yeah. You could be hired for an event because you look yeah. good, maybe. It doesn't happen to me very often, but there are events, that, you know, they choose maybe somebody who's looking yeah. immaculate, a female, for example, who looks great. And that's what the audience and event producers yeah. want. So there's all different types of events, all different, things that happen in and out, and working with these different teams, can be sometimes quite challenging. But again, I enjoy that. I enjoy popping into a kind of pop-up yeah. team, and we all have our role to play in that 2-day, 3-day event. We haven't met each other before, but if we all do it correctly and we all kind of sync together, it works out well. Yeah. So in terms of events, yeah, and speaking on stage, the confidence gave me that at the beginning. Mm. But it's more than just the confidence. It's more than just being confident on stage. Yeah. It's more than just knowing keeping that anxiety down. It's far more than that. You need to connect. You need to say the right things that people, so people can feel good, because there are so many people that can stand on a stage and don't have the fear because they have a strong ego. Maybe they feel good
yeah.
on stage. Maybe they really enjoy yeah. that.
I tend to actually see it the other, though. I think that, you know, for most, at least when you think about when people present, especially like entrepreneurs presenting to a stage or to a group at an event, I always see that confidence is the hardest part, is like confidence that you can deliver. Because most people go up with a slide deck and they just say their slide deck. They don't read the room. All that stuff, and all that, like the connection piece, is what takes it next level, right? If you want to communicate and communicate well, you have to understand how to read audience and connect and engage. And that's the second piece. But that first piece really is having the confidence to say, I'm going to go up and deliver. I have 5 minutes on stage. I have 10 minutes. I've got 5 minutes to pitch, 10 minutes to present, or it could be a cold call. I'm on a call with a client. I've got 30 seconds to make an impact. I need to have the confidence first to gain the attention, and then once I get the attention, then start yeah. reading. And I like how you talked about video, and this is something I talk about in my book, The Social Soul, is there's so much power in video, especially for entrepreneurs, in mastering your kind of showing your personal and professional brand, how they intertwine, and showing who you authentically are, so that people can decide, hey, I want to work with Peter, one, because he's a content expert, but two, I like his delivery style and this and that. And so we forget to just, like, I know it's scary putting ourselves out there, but having the confidence to take that first step goes a long way into yeah. the type of content we need to create to connect with the audiences yeah. that we do serve. And so I think there's like a whole channel yeah. to that.
If we break it down, certainly for me, confidence is equals belief, mm-hmm. right? So believing you can do something, believing that you can achieve whatever yeah. it is, the task you want to do, believing that you can go on a date with a great looking woman that or guy who's maybe out of your league, right? Believing that, and that's the confidence. So believing you can stand on a stage and share content that is going to really connect mm-hmm. and really make people feel something, yeah. right? And so one of those things that helps with that is certainly if you've done it before. Yeah. So the more times you do something, so the more, so anything we do lots of times, mm-hmm. Our brain tells us we're good at it.
Yeah.
Right. Which is like, for example, I don't know, if you kick a ball at a wall every day for 5 hours a day.
Yeah.
After a couple of weeks, you're going to tell your brain will tell yourself, you will tell yourself, I am damn good at
practice.
This. Right. Or like Zoom. Hey, this is a really good example. Zoom virtual exchanges. We've been doing this, what, for 2 years now, mm-hmm. right? Nearly. Everybody does it every day. Most of us, and I think this is very true, most of us think we're pretty good at it. Or quite good at it. Why? Because we do it every day. Because we stand in the same place every day. We look at the camera mm-hmm. every day. We have our spot at home or wherever it is. You know, our virtual spots, right? And we do it all the time. So we convince ourselves we're good at it. And that's a good thing in a way, because it builds up our confidence. Yeah. The other side of the coin is actually being really aware of what you're doing. So it doesn't necessarily mean that we're actually good at virtual exchanges because we do them every day. In fact, I think it's actually quite the opposite. Yeah. Most of us are not great at it. We think we're okay. We think we can get by, and we do get by. But if we think to ourselves, you know, actually, what we do this all the time, so it makes sense that we get really good at it. Because if we get really good at something we do all the time, we're going to be better than the others. We're going to be better mm-hmm. than our competitors. We can actually do something. Why not really take the time to invest the time to really be aware of really how to get good at this. Camera, voice, storytelling, presence, all those things, right? So confidence, I think it's really connected to belief and telling ourselves those messages and that voice in our head that tells us it's okay. I've done it many times.
You just made a really good kind of, you know, what you said there was the first part is having the belief and the confidence to overcome fear. And then once you get good at that and you overcome your fear that I can get on and do this because I've done this before and I've practiced, right? Repetition. You can't get comfortable with that, because if you get comfortable with that, you don't actually know if you're good or not. You have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Okay, now that I'm overcome and I have confidence to get on the Zoom call, I have the confidence to present. Now, how do I better engage? How do I better deliver? How do I do this better? How do I add personality or add humor? And that's where many people is like, oh, I'm confident I'm just going to keep going, versus I'm confident I can do this. Now what? How do I continue to evolve? And that's where I think the real magic happens, right? That's where the communication, the reading the audience, the connection, that authentic engagement throughout, that's where that cream rises to the top. And that's a hard skill, or even harder skill. That it's hard to overcome the fear and get confident on doing it. Then it gets really hard once you start executing. And you know, I have a feeling that's where a lot of your clients that you work with, you have to really work on how to deliver, how to connect, how to be authentic, how to engage and feel. Because you have to feel a room, and it's just really hard to do on Zoom.
That's right. That's right. And there's one skill which is like the biggest skill of all that I do as a coach, and a skill that people who are being coached really need to kind of hone in on and realize it's going to help them. And that skill is simply listening. So the more you listen, so I'm a speaker coach, but I don't, although, okay, I'm speaking now with you, but when I'm working, when I'm with a client, most of the time I'm listening. So I'm really, really listening to what's been said, really kind of listening into with my eyes, looking at how this person is feeling about the content, about themselves, about the perception of others when they see that, when they see them, right? So it's kind of really evaluating everything and really listening. So the more you listen and the more you kind of are curious to really figure out, you know, how you come across, how others generally see you, it can really really make a difference. So listening is so
important. I love that. You know, I I know you've had this opportunity and you've done these amazing things to get on these stages around the world and find these different conferences. And, you know, one of the things that when I work with entrepreneurs all the time, you know, they always want to figure out, how do I go to more conferences? How do I get seen to potentially be on a panel or speak? What advice do you have? How do you go about finding those? And how do you know, entrepreneurs out there kind of put a plan around, okay, if you want to raise your game to be on a panel or go speak on a stage, you know, you did the TEDx, you got these amazing opportunities. How does an entrepreneur look at to do that with like their event planning and getting their exposure and up their game in this space?
Yeah, I think it can be tough. It certainly wasn't easy for me. So I did, at the beginning, I was just jumping around from event to event for free, investing my own time, investing my own money to get there. They'd give me free tickets to get in, sometimes pay for travel. But it was important for, this was my marketing. This was like, and it was really important for me to get a great photo, you know, one cool kind of pick shot of me on stage in a panel or hosting the event, or a short video clip, even better. And that would help me get the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. So it was tough at the beginning, because, you know, why should anybody bring you on board into a panel if they've never seen you before, you've never done it before, or they need something that's going to tell them, well, yeah, this guy or this person, this woman has got something that is going to be valuable to the audience at our event, right? So, and if they see a video of you, if they can see that you're often at different events, that really helps. So my advice would be to, like, you know, where you can, if that's something you really want to do and you want to raise your game as a speaker, raise your game as somebody who maybe isn't getting paid right now, but wants to get into that field, you know, humbly start small, go to lots, get them to pay for travel. I wasn't losing too much, right? But, and sometimes I get paid a little bit here and there. But then when it got to a stage where I was, you know, actually doing big ones and big events, and there were, you know, really strong sponsors that were supporting the event, and there was a clear higher budget, you have to think to yourself, what is the value? What value do you bring? If you're part of that value, then that the budget needs to be part of what they
exactly.
So yeah, the more you do, builds up your confidence. Everything I've done, I've learned from it. I've learned something from it. Some of them were disastrous. Some of them were okay. Many of them were great. But all of them, I would say, have helped me to take those steps to get on to stages that, you know, around the world now. So at the end of the month, I'm going to Riyadh, Abu Dhabi, I think Shanghai, Korea this year.
Amazing.
As well. So you know, the more you do and the more you believe in yourself. So my belief is quite strong, because I've done it many times. I can say to myself, and I can after this podcast, I can sit down and go online and I can Google myself and I can see all the things that I've done. Yeah. And what does that do? That will just give me more confidence to say, hang on a minute, I deserve to be on these stages. Because I've done all this already, I deserve to be there.
I think that's, you know, it's important why it's important to create sometimes also create your own content, create a few videos, go on a podcast. Yeah. That's why I love having early stage entrepreneurs on the podcast, is that they get an audio clip and a video clip they can use to show themselves as that authority figure, as somebody that should be looked at, that can provide tons of value on a panel or on a stage. And I think that's such a great key takeaway from this, is you have to know how to show and share your value. And it's actually something I talk a lot about in my book, The Social Show, is like, how do you share and show that value through engagement, through creation, et cetera. And so, great point. And you know, as we come up here on time, you know, for those listening, I could probably sit here and talk to Peter for hours, literally, on a lot of cool stuff. So, you know, at the end of every episode, I always like to ask a few questions to kind of close it out. And the first question I'd like to ask you is, you know, what advice would you give to, you know, Gen Z, millennials, anyone that's kind of out there looking to be more entrepreneurial minded or take that next step in their career in whatever way, shape, or form that may be?
I mean, what, in terms of the speaking world or just generally? I'd say not to be too hard on yourself and not to judgment today in the world we live in today. And you'll agree with me, Rob, it's very different from what it was when we, it sounds like we're really old. We're not that old, but I mean, over, you know, 10, 20 mm-hmm. years, very different from what it is today. Today, judgment is a really mm-hmm. big thing. We're constantly being judged even more now than we've ever been, right? And so that judgment can make us feel so many things. There's a whole scale of making us feel good because of the likes mm-hmm. that we get or the comments we get, and that is kind of like almost like a false reality for many. And then there's others that are, you know, happy with themselves and happy that, and they know they're doing quite well and they want to learn and they're not perfect and that's cool, but you know, to keep going, let others judge you, mm-hmm. right? Let them judge you. Say to yourself, okay, that's okay. They have the right to judge you. It's like going on stage. That's a quote I often say to the people I work with. I say, listen, let people judge you. You cannot stop them. They will judge what you wear, what you look like, your hairstyle, mm-hmm. your voice, they may not like you because they just don't like your shoes. They may not like you because they don't like your voice. They may not like you because they don't like the content. Yeah. Hopefully not, but that may happen. And that's okay. As long as you're trying to get to an outcome, trying to share messages, trying to give value, mm-hmm. right? So letting people judge us is okay, but don't let good judgment drive you forward. So good judgment, when I say good judgment, I mean social mm-hmm. media, likes, other people giving you that affirmation that tells yourself that you're good. Try to sort of not listen to that too much, and set to, and you, because you know whether you've done well mm-hmm. or not. You know how you're doing. You know on your journey how far mm-hmm. you've come, and there'll probably be, you know, bumps along mm-hmm. the way, up and down, maybe two steps forward, one step back, mm-hmm. but you know how you're doing. So again, not to let the judgment that we need to let people mm-hmm. do, let people judge us, but don't let that drive those voices in our heads that give us this belief and confidence we were talking about.
Yeah, earlier. I love that. And, you know, I think that the kind of the piece there too, is it comes down to a lot of people can judge on a lot of things, but they only see surface level and only, you know, everything you've overcome. So let that be your motivation. You have to be internally driven. And I love that. What is what's a book, resource, or show that you would recommend right now that Bear Nation should check out?
Okay, so what, a book? It could be a book. It can be.
It could be a book, a podcast, YouTube channel, anything.
Okay, so I've got here, right here. I don't know if anyone can see it, but it's called. It's simply called The Storytelling mm-hmm. Book, Fascinating, by Anthony Tazgall.
Storytelling book by Anthony Tazgall.
Yeah, fascinating, because I love books like this, because they're almost like a guidebook where you can dip in, dip mm-hmm. out, pick things when you want, doesn't matter when, doesn't matter where, but you can pull them out and you can use them. And it's all about ideas on storytelling, on you know, ways, techniques to use, strategies, and some of these things. I'm sure those of you that are into storytelling, you'll know some of this stuff. Some of the stuff will be kind of like quite intriguing, and there'll probably be quite a few golden nuggets in there as well. So my bookshelf is full of storytelling books and presentation books and and public speaking mm-hmm. books, and each one, again, lots of stuff you know, but there's always stuff in there that you don't. So definitely, if you're looking for a storytelling book, this is one
I would love read. It. That is amazing. I'll have to check it out because it's not one that I have read. So Peter, I know we're out of time, but how do my listeners, how does Bear Nation find you, connect with you, and learn more about the work that you're doing and get in touch?
Yeah, listen, I think the easiest way is simply over to LinkedIn, put my name in there, Peter Hopwood, public speaking coach. You'll see me, everything that I'm doing, that I've done, that I've been doing recently, all the events I've been at, the coaching, the lots of other podcasts as well. This one will be on there as well. Yeah. So hopefully this one will take you there to start with.
I love it.
You know, you can pick out and choose lots of different nuggets of advice and tips and strategies, and if you feel that, you know, someone like me can help you take you to the next step wherever you need to be, reach out, let's have a chat and see potentially where we can collaborate
together. I love it. I will make sure to have your LinkedIn profile linked in the show notes, so if you're listening, check the show notes, it'll be right there. You can pull up his LinkedIn profile, connect with Peter. Thank you so much for sharing a bit about your journey, sharing great advice on communication, and also just talking through different aspects of your career with us. We appreciate having you on, and we really just, you know, I can't wait to get this episode out for people to hear.
Rob, man, I've loved it. It's been really cool talking from here, from Croatian coast over to Brooklyn. I'm at night here, about to go to bed. your afternoon's just beginning. Sunshine, really cold. So listen, I hope we can do this again.
You sometime. Bet, Peter. Thank you so much, Bear Nation. Until next episode, stay well. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bear Nation, once again, thank you for tuning in and listening to the Bear Necessities Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave us a review. It really does help and means a lot to us, the show. And I want to thank our friends over at Finn. Finn is a social good platform that creates employee engagement and builds culture. It's our mission to support and give back to the communities that we serve around the world. And we do this by giving every guest on our show a $10 donation to the cause of their choosing using the Finn platform. Until next time, thank y'all. Stay well, rise up.